Do your emotions run your life? Are they bringing you to a place of blessing or taking you away from God's path for your life? On today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and guest Dr. Creflo A. Dollar, learn how to stay on the right track.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have us a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's message. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. Jesus is Lord. He's our high priest. And we receive from you, Lord Jesus, high priest, high administrator of the body of Christ. We receive your word and revelation of yourself and the blessing of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Join me today in welcoming Creflo Dollar. Creflo Dollar, we're going to read 3 John today.
Yes, sir.
We tried for 2 days, and we're going to read it. Amen. If I can keep my mouth locked shut long enough, I get so excited over it.
I love it.
I really try. I think, I'm going to let Creflo talk. Nah, I ain't. I get...
It wouldn't be any fun if I can't even just hear myself. I come up here to listen to you.
Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. 3 John,
see, verse 2.
Yes.
Beloved, I wish, or the Amplified says, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The Amplified reads, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. Now, again, when you hear this word prosper, you can't think immediately money.
No, no.
You are not.
Most people do.
Yeah, they do.
And that's what the world thinks it is. They don't think it's anything else.
And they're not incorrect, but they are incomplete.
Yeah.
Because when this word prosper shows up, we're talking about being able to prosper in every area of your life, every arena, your spirit, your soul, your body, your marriage, your family, and money. So it does include money, but it's not just money. We've said this over and over again for years, that money by itself cannot define prosperity. No. When we talk about prosper, we're talking about wholeness and a continuous well-being in every area of one's life. And so God is saying, I wish above all things that you'll prosper or have that continuous well-being in every area of your life. He mentions your body, but then he says it will all be your prosperity, your continuous well-being in every area of life is all going to be based on the degree that you prosper in your soul.
That's what even as means,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
With whatever level your soul is on, that's mm-hmm. what level you're on and everything else.
Yeah, you're not going to go any farther than your soul prosperity.
Oh, man, yeah.
So now if you are not meditating on the right thing, if you're not reading the right things, and if your course is not lined up with the word, then most likely you can go ahead and conclude that this is not going to be a part of your life. Now, we have spent a couple of days talking about that second step of your thinking, because you're not going to go anywhere. Change your thinking, change your life. Mm-hmm. You change the way you think, you change your life. If you're thinking in line with the Word of God, you're going to change your life in line with the Word of God. But now here's why this is so important. Getting the Word and getting your thinking in line with the Word, because now the next area is where lots of people today are failing. And that is the way you think will determine the emotions you have or the way you feel. Now, most people have allowed their emotions to take charge of their lives. Reasoning may be one of the biggest enemies to your faith.
Oh, I believe it is.
And you come in and you begin to reason with the Word of God. I said one time while I was preaching, I said, what happened to the day of just opening the Bible up and reading it and saying, okay, I'll do that. Being quick to believe. There's something that happens when a person is slow to believe. and they begin to reason with what the Word has to say. And they open their thinking up to be changed, because now they are looking at, well, the talk show host didn't say that. Brother Copeland said that, but that's not what the news media said. But
that's not what my professor said.
That's not what my professor said. Now, what are you doing?
That's a big one.
That same thing happened in the Garden of Eden.
Same.
God spoke to Adam and Eve, told them exactly what he said. Satan showed up and began to initiate reasoning. Take this thing now, take it with God's word and reason with it. There is something about the believer that says, here's what God's word says. Here's what I'm going to do. God said it. I'm settled because he said it. The word's settled because he said it. What's that old saying that you say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles
it?
Well, it's settled whether you believe it or not.
Yeah, it is.
It's already settled. It's a settled thing. And so now you're thinking.
Yeah, Jesus said it's settled forever, didn't he?
It is settled.
It's settled.
It's settled in good times and in bad times. It's settled when you see the results or when you don't see the results.
Never changes.
It's settled. It's a thing that's been established. Now, when my way of thinking does not line up with the word of God, the result will be negative emotions that will try to take control of my life and lead me to a place that's out of the will of God. You'll end up allowing your emotions to take charge of your life, just like what happened in the Garden of Eden through reasoning. It will no longer be, by his stripes I'm healed. Praise God, I believe it, I know it. It will now be, well, the Bible says, by his stripes I'm healed, but there's the pain.
Boy,
and that's not
bad.
What the doctor said. Yeah. And now you start reasoning with this thing, and the reasoning is, it's affecting your emotions, and that is the number one reason that people find themselves in divorce court, in lack, not getting result from the word, because they have turned their lives over to their negative emotions. Now, Jesus didn't do that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was attacked with all of this pain and all of this. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's see. Well, that's even better. That's not where I wanted to go right quick, but this is even better. Verse 15.
Where are you?
Hebrews 4:15.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Hebrews 4:15. We'll go to the other one was in Mark 14. But
Mark, but let's,
Hebrews 4. Let's verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. Now, I love what he says here in the Amplified in verse 15. He says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. So I know that even though my feelings have been attacked, that the word of God and my way of thinking in line with that word will get me out. Bible says Jesus was touched and he shared those feelings, but he got out of it. Now, what did he say before that? He said, hold fast to your profession. Hold fast to what you know to be true. Hold fast to what's coming out of your mouth. Hold fast to the way that you're thinking. That's lining up with the word of God. It's a matter of holding on to what you know is right until you know what is right produces what it says, and not allow reasoning to move you off of what you know is right. That's called patience. And the Bible says that you are in need of patience if you want to see the word of God come to pass.
Yeah, but he said if you'll exercise it, patience will have her perfect work, and you will be entire wanting nothing. If you'll stay on the word and control your mouth and your thinking and just stay there and be constant the same way regardless of how you feel, then you're allowing the blessing to work. You're allowing God's anointing to work. You're allowing the power of the Word itself to work in your life. And it's called the perfect law of liberty if you are a doer of the work and not just a hearer only. It will come out.
But what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, because they allowed negative emotions to take charge of their lives, it cut them off from the blessing. The greatest sin, the actual sin that took place in the garden that day, was the sin of allowing their emotions to take charge of their life. God gives us emotions as a blessing for us to be able to have them and enjoy them in this world. But he never intended for those emotions to take charge over our lives.
Yeah, no. Let's go back here to this. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, wait a minute. Before you just trip over that and just keep on a tripping, I got to touch Jesus with my pain. I got to touch him with this sickness. Now, wait a minute before you jump out into that flesh world. Jesus is not anointed to cry with you.
Yeah.
Now, he hurts for you, man. Mm-hmm. He's been there. He knows how you're hurting. Mm-hmm. But he's not anointed to bring to pass your hurt feelings.
Yes.
Let's go back over here to chapter 3, verse 1.
Yes, yes.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. What heavenly calling? Well, in chapter 5, it says, Jesus, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We are partakers of his high priestly calling. Now, here it is in 3:1. Partakers of the heavenly calling. If you're going to partake of that heavenly calling, then consider or fix your mind on the apostle, the one God sent and high priest of our profession, Christ, the anointed Jesus. He is anointed. The word profession there translated literally means saying the same thing he does. Now, he's not. God didn't call him and appoint him to uphold your feelings. There's no healing in his emotions any more than they are yours. He's a man. Now, he can get emotional over you, but he's not going to jump the traces of his calling and anointing for you, me, or anybody
Absolutely.
Else. It's when beyond your feelings you say, praise God, he bought and paid for my healing, and I refuse to put anything else in my mouth. I don't care how I feel about it. He knows I'm hurting. But I got to give him something to work with. Now, listen to me carefully. He's Lord over sickness and disease. He's high priest over healing. I'm so sick. Don't you know I'm sick? Oh, Jesus. He's already defeated that sickness. He don't need to come defeat it again in you.
And won't.
You're crying out for healing, but you're crying out sickness. He's Lord over sin, sickness, demons, fear, the curse, and all of hell. But he's the high priest over the blessing, over the salvation of your spirit, your soul, your mind, and your body. He is Lord over your financial, over poverty. He's high priest over the blessing of your financial life. So you have to come to him as high priest of the blessing and confess that boldly at the throne of grace and hold on to that confession of faith.
Because your mouth is a blessing faucet.
You have to do it, man.
You have to do it.
That's the way you got saved.
Yes.
And that's the only way you're going to receive off his priesthood.
Yes, yes. And to come boldly means to come with confidence, knowing that you have a right to do that.
Creflo, come boldly. When he said come boldly to the throne of grace, he wasn't asking you to come boldly to that throne, fall on your face and start crying. Mm-hmm. And that's not boldly. Mm-hmm. That's not even humbly. Mm-hmm. He is asking you to humble yourself under this word and come sit on that throne with him. Mm-hmm. You go back to the book of Ephesians now in chapter 2. We've been made to sit with him in heavenly places. In this fourth chapter, he said, you come sit. Hey, God invited him to come sit with him until I make your enemies your footstool. Mm-hmm. He's turning around and saying, to you overcomers, I grant to sit with me in my throne as I sit with my Father in his throne. Now, who is an overcomer? You there. You just turn right over there to 1 John. We'll just look and see. It's all plainly written in the book here. But this is the reason you have to find out what's in the book.
Right.
Now, look at the fifth chapter. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves the Father loves the children that are born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, whom we love God and keep his commandments. For this is loving God, that we keep his commandments, and commandments are not grievous. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that ought to sit on the throne of grace with him? Who is he but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
So for me to show up at the throne of God on my face when he told me to show up with confidence and sit with him, it may look like real humility, but real humility is obeying what God told me to do.
Yeah. Now, religion demands otherwise. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the word. We ain't talking about religion. Mm-hmm. This cuts right cross grain of most religious ideas. Mm-hmm. But man, this is what God is interested in.
And Jesus demonstrated every bit of what you just talked about in that Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, he demonstrated that.
That's what he did. Now, he fell on his face before God.
Yeah.
But he didn't stay there.
Yep.
After a little bit, he got up and he said, come, it's time to go.
Yep.
And he got up from there. Well, didn't he pray, if it be your will? No, he did not. He said, he knew the will of God. And it was, he was under pressure to pray something else, to pray and release his faith, to get God to move his thing off of him. But he refused to do it. He said, no, sir, not my will, but thine be done.
You know what? Let's look
that's
at that.
That's totally different.
That's what happens when people's emotions show up, and Jesus did something to show us exactly what to do in the middle of that pressure. When that pressure shows up, what do you do in the middle of that pressure? Mark 14, verse 33. Okay. Agony in Gethsemane, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. So he's praying. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. So that there's pressure.
It's emotional there, man. I mean, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. In fact, the verse, 33 says, and he took with him Peter and he began to be struck with terror, amazement, deeply troubled and depressed. And in verse 34, he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and he prayed.
Now, Creflo, he's not at the throne of grace.
No. And that's he is praying before God.
Yes, sir.
And notice what he did in the time of pressure. Number one, he went forward.
Yes, he did.
Number two, he kept on praying. Now, we're talking pressure on your life. And this is an illustration. I'm going to go forward and I'm going to keep on praying. Now, I'm going slow, but I'm going forward.
Yes, sir.
I got a tear coming out of my eye, but I'm going to keep praying. Now, notice in verse 36, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thy will. In other words, no emotions. You're not going to get me to do this.
No.
I'm going to hold fast.
This points out right there.
Yeah.
That he was being tempted in the area of his will.
Yeah.
And his will was not, it was not flowing with the will of God. He did not want to do this, but he refused to go with his own will. He jerked it back. back around to the will of God and said, I'm not going with my will. I'm going with your will.
Negative emotions or emotions are feelings on the inside trying to move you away from the will of God for your life. And if you don't take charge of those emotions, they are designed. They have an assignment to get you to take your will and try to use it to substitute the will
now
that God
has
for your life.
We know from the Bible how he did it.
Yeah.
He said he despised it. He despised the shame. He despised being separated from his Father. Mm-hmm. But for the joy that was set before it, what'd he do? He had to get his mind and his eyes up off of himself, his own pain, what he was about to go through, and he looked on out there at the promise of God, and for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame, he endured the pain, he endured the cross, and he sat down on the throne of grace.
Yes,
and his Father said, well done, son. I'm going to make you enemies of what's due.
Yeah. And his the devil didn't use a new trick with Jesus.
No.
It's the same trick he did with Adam. He showed up to do the same thing with Jesus. And notice the first thing he did. He tried to get them to question who they were. Are you the Son of God?
He did.
Yeah, he tried to get them to question, you know, their identity. And Jesus knew exactly who he was. If thou be the Son of God. He knew that was the Son of God.
He knew from the Scripture, not because mm-hmm. of something that happened to him before he was born mm-hmm. on earth. The Bible said he emptied himself of all that. He knew it right. He knew it from Isaiah 61. Mm-hmm. God has anointed me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Mm-hmm. He knew who he was, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Found himself in the work.
Yeah, he found himself in the work.
Oh, my.
And that's what
goodness.
We have to do as Christians. We've got to find ourselves in the Word. We've got to know the will of God for our lives. We've got to know when emotions. Listen, when somebody gets hurt, hurt people want to hurt people. And hurt people never make the right decision. That's what I'm talking about, people having to understand how these negative emotions are working against the will of God for your life.
Yeah.
And that's why you've got to jerk those emotions in line with God's Word.
Boy, you get yourself, I've done it physically.
Yeah,
grab myself by the ear and the other hand, get me by the nose, and get me in there on my knees. Now you shut this up. You shut up this, I'm so tired, I'm so sick. You know better than that. You get your mouth back over here on the Word of God, and my flesh is just doing me like this. But the moment that word come out of my mouth, my flesh just settle right down, and all that depression go right out the door, and we out of time.
Yes.
I don't want to quit. Creflo and I'll be back in just a moment.
Does it feel like your life is a mess? Is everything spinning around and you don't know what steps it will take to get you to the life your heart desires? In Dr. Creflo Dollar's new book, 8 Steps to Create the Life You Want, you'll learn proven practical advice to live out your destiny and step boldly in the direction of the life you really want. No matter what you'll ever think of or desire for your life, nothing compares to the overflowing beauty of the life that God is sculpting for you as you remain flexible and obedient in His hands. A better life doesn't just come from a change in circumstances. Learn powerful keys to help unlock your true potential. Find out how to overhaul your thinking, take charge of your emotions, establish healthy habits, develop godly character, embrace your destiny, and much more. No matter what decisions you made yesterday, today is a new day, and God is ready to take you to a life you really want. To request your copy of 8 Steps to Create the Life You Want, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This new book by Creflo Dollar, now specially priced at just $16, will show you the tools you need to live an abundant life full of confidence and peace. To request your book by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order today.
Now, you've heard a lot of things on these broadcasts for two solid weeks, and a lot of your religious heads arguing with your heart, and your heart knows you're reading the Word. This is what it says. Yeah, I know, but I heard this and all that. Listen, don't let your head talk you out of what your heart already knows. And that's the reason you need these kind of books. You don't need to be reading old poor old me, old unworthy stuff. You need to be reading the Bible and to change your thinking and put you over on covenant life where you belong. I'm telling you, this is the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Right there in the end of the book, it says, I will grant to the overcomer to sit with me on my throne, even as I sit with my Father in his throne. The invitation is, come sit on this throne, but you're not going to take your old religious doubt and unbelief and unworthy muckety muck in there with you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to dump that and shed that thing and say, yes, praise God, I was unworthy, but he shed his blood and I received it. That's the reason you need books like this and read them and challenge every word Creflo says with the Scriptures. But when he says Ephesians 1, you read the book of Ephesians. Praise God. Father, we pray over this radio and television audience all over the world. Thank you for opening our eyes and making us strong and prosperous in our souls. Mm. And now it's pouring out all over our families. Mm. We thank you for it. That's what we do in these believers' conventions, man. I mean, you can totally immerse in this thing. You can get in here and hear it all day long and half the night. Great Lakes Believers' Convention, August 18th through the 23rd, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, Bill Winston, Gloria, me. What else do you want? Jesus is going to be there here for service. Praise God. Now, you better get your righteous self over there and get in and have a good time with us. Go to KCM.org and you get the whole thing. We'll see you tomorrow. And don't you dare forget that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
It's like going from the shallow end of the pool to jumping into the deep end of the pool.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Southwest Believers Convention, August 4th through 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar for six empowering days with believers from around the world. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Special services also include Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school. There's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.